Well, the older I get, I appreciate and love all kinds of baked breads. So I'm not advertising that you bake breads for me, okay? So next week, don't show up with baked breads, okay? I'm just saying I love it. I remember walking into the house as a kid, and mom was making homemade bread. And you know that smell, right? Just feels, it's amazing. Anyone else like the smell of baked bread? Are you with me? Okay. Or when Julie makes banana or pumpkin bread, you know, oh man, right? She's got to fight me to keep me out of the kitchen. Put it, it's warm with butter. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's goodness. It's like, this is a little bit of heaven right now. This past week, Julie and I enjoyed a Valentine date night. And this past week, as we enjoyed, you know, the warm bread that comes out to the table before the meal. And you have a little bit of a, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's amazing. So I know that they even make bread-smelling candles. Right? And there's a car freshener, hot glazed buns, hot glazed buns that you could put in your car for that kind of smell. So on your way out today, we have bought each one of you. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't do that. That would be awesome if we had fresh baked bread. Maybe if we had that wafting into the sanctuary this morning. Well, baked bread is made of flour and meal that is moistened, it's kneaded, and sometimes fermented, right? It's a major food since prehistoric times. It's been made in various forms using a variety of ingredients and methods throughout the world. The first bread was made in Neolithic times, nearly 12,000 years ago, probably of coarsely crushed grain mixed with water, with the resulting dough that formed, probably laid on heated stones and baked by covering with hot ashes. The Egyptians apparently discovered that allowing wheat doughs to ferment, right, thus forming gases, produced a light expanding loaf. And they also developed the first baking ovens. Little history of bread this morning from Encyclopedia Britannica. Well, it's amazing how much bread is a part of our society. And bread, among others, has sustained me so far. But I realize bread for my body is important. It does keep me alive, right? Among other foods. And last week, the bread served to us was deeply satisfying as it prepped us for the meal that was coming. But there's another bread that I want to talk about this morning that is so much more important. A bread that will cause me to live forever. So way back in the Bible, the beginning of the Bible, God introduces himself to Moses in the burning bush. And that story is found in Exodus chapter 3. So I had this question, what's in a name? You know, our names have different meanings and histories behind it. We're named after so-and-so. But what's in a name? Well, to God, it would reveal his nature and it would reveal his character. We already know him as Elohim, which means God, Yahweh, which is the Lord's personal name, and El Shaddai, God Almighty, among other names. But Moses, at the burning bush, is wanting a special name for God that would convince the Israelite people that the one true God of the universe had really sent him, Moses, to deliver them from slavery from Egypt. So God gave Moses his answer, his name, I am who I am. I am who I am, meaning that God always was, always is, and always will be. There is no other name that sums up the creator of the universe who has infinite power and knowledge and wisdom and justice and compassion. God and his name, I am, is he's not passive. He's not distant, but a living and constant presence. And he's the same God who was with Moses so long ago, continues to be with us today. I am. Well, beginning this morning, we're starting a new series titled, I Am. I Am. And we're going to look at each of the seven I am statements that Jesus made recorded in the book of John. So when Jesus uses the expression I am in these statements, he's identifying himself with his Father. See the connect there? Jesus used them as metaphors, and they complement Jesus' miracles. So each statement that he said, each I am statement and miracle of Jesus help each other, so there's no misunderstanding of what he was saying. Jesus wasn't just flexing his powerful miracle muscles, right, and demonstrating those miracles, but he was revealing the meaning of his ministry and his teaching. He had a point. He had a purpose behind everything that he did. Well, with a few exceptions this morning, most of us enjoy bread, right, of all kinds. I think the older you get, I enjoy different kinds of bread that I didn't like before. You know, I think of pizza and sandwiches and croissants and bagels, and there's cornbread and tortillas and rolls and muffins, brioche and sourdough and wheat and rye and white and Italian. Are you hungry for bread yet? Should we have some bread later? The chorizo and eggs that we had yesterday, the men's breakfast, yum. I just want to say a shout out to Paul and Andrew and Aiden back there helping us cook. But the chorizo and eggs, even you liked them, didn't you? No? Okay. You probably have some of that bread I just mentioned in your homes right now, right? And as good as all those breads are, we know that eventually, bread won't keep us alive forever. We know that. But there's an unseen bread that will satisfy us and will never end. Do you have that bread? Do you know what bread I'm talking about? Well, the title of my message in this series this morning is I Am the Bread of Life. I am the bread of life. So here's a little backstory before I begin to read of our text this morning. Jesus has just performed an incredible miracle of feeding 5,000, right? Probably swelled to 15,000 people if you include the women and the children. And he has a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus multiplies that. So let me just stop for a second. A reminder that what little you have in your hand, release it. God can multiply and use for his glory. You can trust him. That little boy had no idea what was going to happen. Here it is. And Jesus fed 15,000 people. There was so much extra that they collected 12 baskets. It's like the disciples each had a doggy bag to take with them, right? And the people saw this miracle and they were amazed and they were ready to force Jesus to be their king. They were ready to take him and say, let's go. You are a king. Look what you just did. But Jesus slips away quietly into the hills. He slips away. Well, the disciples are waiting down by the lake. They got into their boat as darkness fell, and they crossed the Sea of Galilee. And when a storm appeared, they saw Jesus walking on the water. And the text says that they were terrified, even though they knew it was him. But Jesus calmed their fears. We talked about this yesterday in the men's breakfast. Jesus calmed their fears. He says, don't be afraid. I'm here. Can I just pause again and say, when you're going through a storm, when darkness is all around, Jesus says to you this morning, today, don't be afraid. I am here. I think someone needed to hear that today. Don't be afraid. The text says as Jesus got into the boat, they reached the shore. Another miracle we don't think about. Boom, they're there. Let me just stop and say this again. As you face difficulties, get Jesus into your boat. Get him into your boat. He'll help you with your problems, and he'll get you where you need to go. But get him into your boat. Well, the next day, this huge crowd, they had just gotten fed, right? Bunch of bread and fish. They were looking for Jesus and looking for the disciples. When they couldn't find them, they got into their own boats and they went across the lake. You can see all these boats, you know, and they get to the other side. When they finally find Jesus and the disciples. So question for us again to this morning is, how willing are we to go look for Jesus? How desperate are we to go search for him in our life? They asked Jesus, well, how did you get here, right? And here's where we pick up our text this morning. It's found in John chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 25. It says this. Here we go. When they arrived and they found him, they asked, "Teacher, how did you get here?" And Jesus replied, "The truth is, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you saw the miraculous sign. But you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Son of Man, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for that very purpose." Verse 28, they replied, "What does God want us to do?" Jesus told them, "This is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent." Verse 30, they replied, "You must show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What will you do for us? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. As the scriptures say, Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said, "I assure you, Moses didn't give them bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Verse 34, "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day of our lives." Verse 35, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do what I want. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them to eternal life at the last day." Our last verse, verse 40. "For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, that I should raise them at the last day." Jesus could see their motivations and why they were coming, and see their hearts, and he rebuked them. They only wanted more bread. They only wanted, you know, to eat more and to see people be healed. He had just performed an amazing miracle, as I described earlier, yet they still didn't believe in him. In studying this week, I read that the people wanted only the blessing and not the blesser. They wanted the blessing, but not the blesser. When you want God more than you want his blessing, you will receive. Pursue more of God, not just more from God. Let me say that again. When you want God more than you want his blessing, you will receive. Pursue more of God himself, not just things from God. You see, Jesus, in addressing this crowd who were expecting to be fed again, he wanted them to put a higher priority on the spiritual, the eternal, over the physical, over the temporal. The food that they were working for will eventually perish, but the food that lasts forever is what Jesus is giving them. Jesus was offering the free gift of spiritual food, eternal life. They were willing to work for God, but all that God wants is for them to believe in Jesus, his Son. Let me pause for a second and ask this question. Could that be all that Jesus is wanting from you and I today? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do you live like he is? See, the people They just weren't interested in believing in Jesus. They wanted a sign. They wanted a miracle. They wanted Jesus to prove himself first. They asked for a sign from Jesus to base their faith upon. The great D.L. Moody once said this, they wanted to see first, then to believe. This is inverting God's order. They wanted to see first, then they would believe. But that's not how God does it, right? God says to the sinners, you and I, if you believe, then you will see. Faith must come, always come first. Faith must always come first. But the people wanted Jesus to show them a sign. Film director Woody Allen has been quoted as saying, if only God would give me some clear sign, like making a large deposit in my name at a Swiss bank. Maybe you've heard these words from someone, or maybe you've said them yourself. Well, if I saw those miracles, I would definitely believe in Jesus. If I was a part of that day and saw what happened, I would believe in Jesus. But often we do the same thing, right? God, if you just heal, then I will. God, if you show me a sign, then I will. If only we'd remember what God has already done in our lives. But faith in Jesus is always based on his word. It's never based on his miracles. It's based on his word. It was then that the people in this crowd, they brought Moses, okay? The great Moses in the Old Testament. They brought Moses into the conversation with Jesus, saying that Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat when they were in the wilderness. Well, Jesus corrects their memories and he corrects their theology that it wasn't Moses who gave them the bread. It was his father. It was God, his father. And this manna that came in the Old Testament is now Jesus in the flesh standing before them. But they couldn't see it. The true bread, the real bread of Jesus is a gift. It's not something that can be earned or worked for. This true bread is for anyone who believes in him and receives Jesus as their Savior who will forgive their sins. The sin of unbelief is what will separate you from God. But the moment Jesus said the word bread, okay, the listeners who would have heard that, they would have been transported back 1,300 years into their national history. Each day for 40 years in the wilderness, God would provide this manna, bread from heaven to feed his people. However, it came down and they collected it and they ate it for 40 years. This heavenly bread was such a big deal that they made a point of celebrating it every year during the Passover meal. And the purpose of this bread of God was to give life to the world. God was offering something far better than just bread. God was offering more than just Vienna bread to their life. Man, this smells good. He was offering them true bread from heaven. But the people were still thinking about yesterday's meal. They were still thinking about what Jesus can do for them. A loaf of bread. We're hungry. Give us this bread that you're talking about. We want this bread. They were concerned about the temporal and not the eternal. And how many people in our society think about the now instead of the then? You see, we often ask what Jesus can do for us instead of focusing on what Jesus has already done for us. So this is when Jesus makes the first of his seven statements. John 6:35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. And those who believe in me will never thirst. You see, Jesus was describing the gift of eternal life. There's more to this life than what we see. There's eternal life. And Jesus is our source. If we feed on him, if we believe in him as the bread of God, we will never go hungry again. We will never die. So the people had just witnessed a great miracle, but they refused to believe. They wanted their bellies full instead of their hearts. And God the Father gives Jesus to anyone who believes. And if they come, Jesus says, I will never reject them. They will always be welcome. I will always love them. God wants everyone to believe in his Son. There is so much symbolism between the manna that God gave the people and Jesus, the bread of life. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was claiming to be even greater than the manna that God gave in the desert so long ago. You see, the manna only sustained life for God's chosen people while they were in the desert. But Jesus gives life to the entire world. The Israelites ate the daily manna and eventually died. But when you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you will live forever. When God gave the manna, he gave only a gift. But when Jesus came, he gave himself. There was no cost for God to send the manna that those 40 years to the people, but he gave his son at a great, great cost. The people of God had to eat the manna every day, but the sinner who trusts Christ once is given eternal life. You don't have to keep getting saved. Keep getting saved. Jesus paid the price once and for all. Well, what does bread do? Well, it nourishes and satisfies our hunger. Jesus is the spiritual bread that nourishes your soul and satisfies the deepest needs of your soul. See, it's God who gives bread to those who are hungry. Only God's bread can give real life. You must eat the bread of life to live. Imagine you're starving, you're famished. You've worked extremely hard and you've been busy all day. You just haven't had time to eat. Your stomach is growling, maybe even now we've been talking about bread. Your stomach's growling. All you can think about is food. So you sit down at the table and a plate of fresh dinner rolls is placed in front of you. What do you do? Grab one, right? You take one or two or three, right? And you start eating. Why? Why do you start eating? Because the only way to satisfy your hunger is to eat. Stay with me. Bread only does you good if you eat it. Well, how do you eat the bread of life? Jesus says, believe. When you take a bite of bread, you believe it's safe for you to eat, that it's not going to kill you, right? Plus, you believe it will give you strength. If you've been hungry, it's going to satisfy that hunger. You can't eat bread halfway. You can't just chew it and then spit it out. You either eat or you don't to satisfy your hunger. Are you with me? The same is true in believing in Jesus. You either believe him or you don't. You either trust he will give you life so you receive him fully and completely, or you don't. There's no middle ground when it comes to believing in Jesus. Thinking about eating is not the same as eating. Knowing the nutritional facts is not the same as eating. Understanding how the body is processed, or the food is processed by the body, is not the same as eating. Those are good things. To believe is to internalize the truth about Jesus. It's to receive him into your soul. Thinking about Jesus is not the same as believing. Knowing facts about Jesus is not the same as believing. Understanding how Jesus saves you is not the same as believing. Believing is staking your life on the fact that the only way to live is to receive Him. It's placing all your hope on Him to sustain you. It's a deep sense that you will die without Him. It's placing all your confidence in Him and the only one who can give you life and strength and a future. And eating this bread of life, guess what? Good news. There's no bill. All you have to do is receive it. Sadly, the crowd in the story I read earlier chose to reject the bread of life. They made excuses that it's too difficult to believe. They grumbled at what Jesus had said, and just like the Israelites did when God sent manna from heaven. Believing on Jesus is hard. Believing on Jesus is hard. Believing demands surrendering all other means of salvation. It's saying, I can't do this on my own. I can't make it on my own. It's saying, I am helpless. I am hopeless. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, give me life. You see, that's not easy. But it's true. And it's your only hope. Only Jesus can fill the emptiness inside. Only Jesus can quiet the growling of your soul. Only Jesus can give you life. You see, Jesus intends faith not to be placed on any signs or miracles that He does, but to be placed on Himself, on who He is. God, I'll believe in you if you meet my needs. God, I'll believe in you if you save my child. God, I'll believe in you if you give me the promotion. God, I'll believe in you if you heal my marriage. But it's placing your faith and your trust in Jesus alone. Maybe the reason you aren't satisfied in life is because you haven't given your life to Jesus, either for the first time or completely. I am the bread of life. Even after Jesus said that phrase, I am the bread of life, we're still starving. There is a hunger that lies within each of us, and if we're not careful, we'll look to be filled by something that could never, ever satisfy. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, said this: we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Maybe you're not pursuing those exact three, but maybe we're pursuing things that will never satisfy. A relationship, an addiction, money, promotion, security, health, popularity. We always come up short. We always come up short. Erwin Lutzer said this: if we are not nourished by the bread of heaven, the bread from heaven, we will satisfy ourselves with crumbs from the world. Is that what we want? We want the crumbs that this world offers us, and we want that. We want the popularity. We want to be liked. We want to have money. We want to have everything that we want, right? The comforts of this life, and they never satisfy. But we go for the crumbs when Jesus is saying, whoa, I've got a meal. I've got bread. I've got me. When Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, He was connecting the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to the significance of His own life's purpose. He wasn't just flexing His muscles, see what I can do. Watch this. There was a purpose. He is the bread of life who nourishes people spiritually and satisfies the deep longing of their soul. If we put our trust in Him, we will not hunger. would be satisfied. The challenge to those of us here this morning who follow Jesus: what are the things that we can begin doing today to make sure that we stay satisfied with Jesus? When was the last time we looked to something that we truly thought would satisfy and it left us wanting more? If Jesus does really satisfy our hunger, why do we resist him? I've had to ask these questions of myself. But Jesus said of himself, "I am the bread of life." To those who haven't maybe given their life to Jesus, you're waiting for a sign from God until you believe. Or you're waiting, or you're reaching for things or other people to try to satisfy your soul, and you'll come up empty. I'm sorry to tell you that. But there's an answer. Jesus said of himself, "I am the bread of life." Will you confess your sin and repent today?